A city is stronger together. So let's hear from the business and community leaders that keep Milwaukee on the upswing. Presented by Horicon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Now here's the host that's always on the upswing, WTMJ's Jeff Sherman.
Now, to business, gentlemen.
Welcome to the Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. As always, a big thank you to the wonderful community-minded people at Horicon Bank. Football and fitness, that is today's show. Actually, two doctors are going to join us to talk about those very topics. First, on the football front, the Wisconsin Badgers take to the gridiron against Notre Dame this weekend, tomorrow, Sunday, right here on 620 WTMJ. Yes, WTMJ is going to air its first Badgers football game in 14 years on Sunday. Network coverage begins at 4:30 p.m. So my marketing mind loves this about the Badger game, too, and something to keep an eye on. The game's at Lambeau Field. It's going to debut the Culver's patch on the jersey for the Badgers, right? That is just such a perfect sponsorship, right? Multi-sport deal, multi-sport sponsorship agreement between Wisconsin Athletics and the Wisconsin-based restaurant chain Culver's. Culver's began in Wisconsin in 1984, and obviously the brand is strongest right here, has the biggest concentration in Wisconsin. I looked through the list. I think we're looking at about 155 Culver's locations. So the little patch is going to be on all the jerseys Saturday at Lambeau as the Badgers play the Irish. Football is on my mind. Technology, without a doubt, has made the game a whole lot safer, but it's gotten a lot faster, too. So new research around concussions makes you pause a little bit when you think about it all. We're going to dive into the data with an expert from Aurora Healthcare. She'll talk us through what concussions mean and maybe what concussions don't mean. We're also going to take a look at what's new in the fitness world, including a new space that's coming to the former LA Fitness space at Bayshore Town Center. Indeed, football and fitness. This is the Upswing. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. A new study is drawing fresh attention to CTE, brain disease associated with repeated head impacts. Researchers found that one in at least four NFL players who died between 2016 and 2021 had CTE. Now, while the findings involve, of course, professional athletes, it raises a pretty timely question for parents and coaches as young people head back to school and fall sports right now. Dr. Kate Essett is a neurologist with Aurora Healthcare who specializes in concussions. She joins us to discuss what families need to know about recognizing, treating, and helping prevent head injuries in young athletes. Kate, I appreciate you taking time out of your day. Thank you.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So first, help us put this new CTE study into context. What does it tell us? And, you know, specifically, what should families and even football fans be careful not to assume from it?
Great question. And I love how you phrase that. Be careful not to assume. You know, there's a lot of misinformation out there about what happens after a lifelong career of professional sports or a lifelong career of doing something that involves multiple head impacts. Studies around, you know, these brain banks have not been consistent. So the study that we're talking about today came out of one center, whereas there's been plenty of other studies out of other brain banks that don't reinforce the same result.
So what's the difference? Let's just kind of level set. The difference between a concussion and the repeated smaller head impacts that researchers are concerned about that kind of level up over time?
Well, a concussion, if we wanted to simplify it a little bit, could be considered a change in the brain's metabolism. Basically, how the brain uses the resources from the blood to do activities is the metabolism.
Okay.
Whereas multiple smaller head impacts is more impacting the brain's immune system. So micro assaults could possibly lead to additive inflammation over time. Now, that still is just a possibility. This is a strong theory, but it still isn't been proven yet.
So as fall sports begin in high schools and middle schools across the state, what are some of the important signs of a concussion that us as parents and coaches and athletes should recognize?
Well, and that's also an important takeaway, signs versus symptoms. Signs is something that we see in an athlete, so as their doctor, their athletic trainer, their parent. And signs can be something like, that kid just doesn't look right. Or, you know, the audience of the game says, whoa, that was a big hit. He's stumbling, she loses consciousness, they're barfing on the side of, you know, on the sideline. And then the symptoms is what an athlete actually experiences. And the most common symptoms in a high school age group would be headache, then dizziness, then just not feeling right.
So, as a parent of a couple athletes, so if a young athlete takes a hit but says, I totally feel fine, you know, what should happen next? Like, symptoms can show up later, right? And oftentimes there's this mentality that, I got to get back into the game right away. And sometimes the coaches have that same mentality as the athletes. So what should a coach and parent do in that situation?
I'm glad you brought that up. I found in my 8 years of being in Milwaukee that mentality is still pretty strong. Just go ahead and get back in the game if you feel fairly fine. Overwhelming research out of many, many institutions across the world, plus enforcement from the American federal government and different state governments, the general rule is, when in doubt, sit it out. If you think that there's been a significant enough mechanism of head trauma or upper body head and neck trauma that could have resulted in the head moving forward or backward too quickly, or if there's any sort of sense that something is not right, the rule is sit it out.
Okay.
You're right that symptoms might show up later that day to diagnose a concussion. Technically, we want to be seeing symptoms within that first day or two, but because things don't always show up promptly, it is important to just exercise. Safer is better than not. Being a little bit more conservative and stepping away. You know, one high school game is not going to make or break.
Right. That's a good mantra for sure. Better safe than sorry, always. So, how specifically are concussions diagnosed and managed today? And I think you touched on it just a little bit, but like, obviously, why is it so important not to return to play too soon?
Sure. You know, right now, concussion is still a clinical diagnosis, meaning we have to use all of the clinical information. Scientists are working on a blood test that might show some promise in the future, but it is by no means should be called the concussion blood test. It's not really used for that right now. So what we have to look at is the mechanism of the injury, how substantial this person was injured, the timing of the onset of symptoms. Did they start within the first, you know, day? And then the diversity of symptoms that occur. And by diversity of symptoms, I mean they have to fit multiple different categories: pain, discomfort, cognitive and focus, sleep disorder, mood and emotions. You know, keep in mind, it's not the role of the parent or the athletic trainer or the coach at the time of the, you know, the football game or the head impact to make a diagnosis. You don't have to make a diagnosis of concussion. You just have to say, something could be dangerous here. When in doubt, sit it out.
Yeah.
And then let them follow up with their doctor, their pediatrician, their athletic trainer, or us in sports neurology to kind of confirm the diagnosis and walk them through what they should do for the next couple of days.
So should that diagnosis come, no matter if it's a professional athlete or a youth athlete, what does responsible recovery look like? And I'm guessing, are there different forms of recovery in the classroom, at home, and on the field, or is it kind of an all-in-one recovery process?
Recovery is meant to be exactly what you're alluding to, individualized. Studies show that an individualized care plan for each injury, not even just each athlete, but each injury needs to be treated in a way that is specific to what the patient needs at that time. So the physical aspect and the sports aspect is a little bit more standardized and a little bit easier to grab onto because there are strict return to play steps for each sport that somebody might be in, starting with, you know, low-level cardiovascular activity and then each day progressing until they're finally able to go to full practice and then a game. Return to school, though, should be prioritized regardless of what level the athlete is at. If you're not able to, you know, maintain a cognitive load that's required for completing your coursework, then that goes to tell us, well, you might be feeling physically fine, but there's either something wrong either in your cognition, your focus, or your emotion that's preventing you from engaging fully in those upper level kind of brain functions that are required for learning.
Yeah. So from you as a neurologist, what do you tell coaches and schools and parents that they can do to lower the risk of head injuries and make safer sports for all of us? Is it a technology? Is it an equipment issue? Is it something else?
You know, I wish it was as easy as a technology or equipment issue. And I think there's many companies out there who are doing a fantastic job of being passionate and trying to find a one-size-fits-all solution for reducing head injuries. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, nothing that has come out that's commercially available has been really effective in reducing concussion or even head impact trauma. So the first and foremost thing is always be playing your game smart and be playing your game in a confident way. So I never advise that a student athlete go out and play their sport if they're having, a cold or a migraine, or if, you know, they're pulled an all-nighter, mm-hmm. you know, because those things decompensate your ability to do your sport in a safe way. You know, you want good reaction time. You want to be on your game. And then otherwise, there's actually been really great results using the Heads Up program, Heads Up for Concussion, for coaches. Even parents that have taken the Heads Up for Concussion parent course are, it's actually been shown, the data is pretty good, that shows when coaches and parents engage in that online training, mm-hmm. then the overall concussion rate of the teams involved goes down.
Yeah. Education important no matter what we're doing. So, Dr. Kate, your final, like, one message you want to get across to parents and young athletes to remember that, all right, there's a lot of various sports seasons underway. How do you reduce that head trauma impact opportunity?
I think my major message as a physician who takes care of many athletes in town is, you know, always be smart, always do what's best for your academic priorities first. And never be afraid to say, you know what, I don't feel right, and I'm stepping back today. You actually will, you know, get much more accolades, much more praise, and become much more, you know, popular role model for your peers if you take care of yourself and your brain health first.
Very good. Again, we appreciate your time and all that you do, and everyone at Aurora Healthcare does to get us back on the playing field safe and securely. Enjoy the rest of your day, and enjoy the football season as well.
Same to you. Thanks so much.
Thanks. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. We are in the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin podcast studio. I love it here. So comfortable, so cozy. A new fitness and wellness destination is preparing to open at Bayshore Town Center this fall. And it's a pretty good bet that this is where fitness and the fitness business is heading. That's what I'm thinking. Kaizen will take up 50,000 square feet in Glendale, offering everything from strength and cardio training to Pilates to yoga, of course, pickleball, basketball, personal coaching, and saunas. But it's a pretty competitive market in this space. A lot of gyms, a lot of studios, especially across southeastern Wisconsin. You got a lot of boutique fitness concepts, recreation options. So how does Kaizen fit in? And I got one of the owners here, Dr. Ryan Poulet, co-founder. Welcome to The Upswing. I really appreciate you taking the time, Ryan. You have a big concept, a really big idea happening at Bayshore Town Center. 50,000 square feet. This is the former LA Fitness space at the mall, right? It's not a mall. It's a town center. It's a lifestyle center, right?
Yeah, correct. It is the old LA Fitness space in the Bayshore Mall, which is on the second floor.
And that concept closed in 2015. So it was natural for you guys to move in there. Talk about that process of kind of going through lease negotiations and opening up a new fitness facility in Milwaukee's North Shore.
Yeah, so my business partner and I happen to be best friends as well, and we've been looking at a couple of ventures to try to figure out what we wanted to do next.
Okay.
He's from the hospitality industry.
Nice.
I had some fine dining restaurants that he owned, and
okay.
I was in the transition of coming out of fitness and medicine and trying to figure out where I wanted to land, and entrepreneurship kind of seemed to be the thing. So luckily enough, I'd worked in a lot of the facilities in the area. I'd worked at the JCC. Okay. I worked at an Elite. I had an offer at the WAC.
Okay.
But I also opened the Milwaukee Athletic Club downtown as part of my regional role before.
Okay.
And then understanding that area, I was like, this is a community that's absolutely like into health and wellness. Mm-hmm. That's why there is so many amazing boutiques and fitness places all in that small little area of like off Silver Spring, off Port Washington. There's so many great options and choices.
Yeah.
And so we thought about it and we started a little different. We thought, how do we build a facility for adults that really speaks to the health and wellness of that community?
So when you look at the concept you're building, Kaizen, what experience are you trying to create there that maybe isn't offered in a traditional gym setting?
That's the fun part about fitness. It's so trendy and like moves quite a bit that people always think is something new coming. But there's some great basics that kind of just always stay constant.
Yeah.
And what we tried to help build was like a community, because truly anybody can have a treadmill at home. You can get a Peloton, you can get a bike.
Build your own gym at home, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And today with all the technology we have, technically you should never need to go anywhere for a workout. You could just do it at home.
Right.
And COVID showed that, oh great, this is what's happening. And it spiked and everybody had a app, everybody had a bike, everybody had a weight room.
Have you seen that trend come around, actually? I mean, it was pretty prevalent, obviously, go back 4 or 5 years. Everyone was working out at home. But I really feel like that return to IRL is here, and it's really happening in the fitness space, too.
Yeah, absolutely. The bricks and mortar of a space makes a huge difference. Like, you'll hear a lot of people talk about, like, third space. Like, people want to go to a place that they're familiar with, that they feel like there's some community.
Yeah.
It's the person that you kind of see on a regular basis at your coffee shop. You see them every Tuesday at 6 o'clock, but you don't invite them for Thanksgiving dinner, but you build a small community. And that's what we truly started to think about and try to solve after the COVID of like being isolated and try to be like, how do we rebuild community in a healthy environment? I'm a non-drinker. So like going to a bar is not a thing for me, but going to, you know, get a workout, you sound like a crazy person when you say to somebody like, hey, do you want to go for a bike ride together? We're trying to build that healthy community so that people have different options to move forward with.
Yeah. Well, and how are you incorporating those options into the new space? Talk a little bit about your business partner and what he's been involved in the market, and how you want to bring like the coffee culture and the community into the fitness space. Because I 100% agree. Like, yeah, I want to go somewhere and get a workout, but whether it's the JCC or the YMCA or the Milwaukee Athletic Club, like, I want a space where I can linger afterwards and hang out and maybe do some work. And that also, I'm guessing, allows you to have some flexibility with the membership rates, because that way I use it as a workspace too and not just a fitness space. So maybe I'm giving you some marketing models there. But just talk us through like the concepts that you're building in addition to fitness.
So where we started was like, what are the problems that people have getting to build community and getting to build fitness routines and being healthy? So we started with like, okay, how do we solve some of those problems? Like the running joke for me in fitness has always been the heaviest thing in the gym to lift is the front door. So you try to say to yourself, like, how do you actually get people in? Because that's the biggest part. Like some of those other gyms that are like a little bit lower priced, they just want volume. They're not worried if you come or not. They just worried about you keeping a membership. Right. So we really focused on how do you actually build community? And because my business partner, Chad, he's so great at the hospitality portion of things. He was like, well, what's a greater way than breaking bread together? We all do that with everybody. We all say to each other, let's go for a coffee. Let's go grab something to eat.
Yeah.
And then we said, well, what about a fitness center that had that kind of aspect to it, where we really brought the hospitality to it to say, let's go grab a coffee together and a workout. Let's go grab a healthy protein shake and do a workout. And we want a program that way where like, on a Friday night, we can have a DJ in a Latin dance class, but there doesn't have to be alcohol. It can all be a fun place to actually enjoy with like-minded people.
Yeah. And what are you doing now at Bayshore Town Center to build that community before, and we'll talk about the timeline of opening later, but like, what are you doing right now to build that community and get people excited about the space?
So we are collaborative to our core. Kaizen means continuous improvement. And so for us, we really wanted to improve the aspect of building community. And so we don't see anybody as a competition. We actually have been already reaching out to multiple businesses, all the fitness boutiques in the area to talk about how do we do this together? Because I'm not going to be able to do a hot yoga. We're not doing hot yoga. We're doing regular yoga,
yeah.
But we're not doing hot yoga. So they're going to do that better. We want to collaborate with them so that the fitness experience is great for the community. So you come to us for your regular stuff.
Yeah.
And if you want to go do a trendy thing that somebody's doing better, we're going to try to get you a discount over there to get you over there. So we've built a lot of business partnerships for like, you know, an equal discount off of both services.
Are you seeing that, Ryan, in your consulting on the fitness side? Do people look for like multiple outlets? Like if you're a member of one space, are you willing to pay the money to be a member of the other space? And you see that in a market our size?
Yeah, absolutely. So when I started fitness like 25 years ago, it was like you had your home gym and that's the gym you went to. And if you didn't like it, you moved to the next one. And the trend has been like fitness centers and those boutiques showed up where people really selected the idealistic one they wanted. It was a cycle bar or just a yoga studio. But then they realized they still didn't have their regular gym where they did their normal routine in.
Yeah.
And because fitness is trendy, the boutiques come and go.
Yeah.
But the home gym, that's what we figured, the House of Athletics, would be the main gym.
Mm-hmm.
And we will encourage people to do that because that's about growth. If you have a new thing to go do, you can go do that. So the trend right now is literally people have multiple memberships.
Mm-hmm.
And what we keep on hearing with people signing on for us right now is, oh man, I could probably eliminate two of those.
Mm.
And we're like, well, you can still encourage you to do the things that we don't offer within the community, within our space.
Yeah. What is something from a fitness trend standpoint, equipment wise, that you're going to integrate in the new space that maybe we're not seeing in the market? Is it a specific type of bike? Is it a specific type of treadmill? Like everyone kind of wants to know, like, all right, what's new in the space and what's going to get me there?
Yeah, the trend in fitness has been for the last probably decade is like getting more functional, more strength based. Like even, you know, before females didn't do strength, they did cardio classes and they did treadmills and they did an aerobics class, and getting in the weight room was difficult. But weight training has been the huge spike. And so we've really leaned into that as well, making it functional fitness. So we have 8 Olympic platforms for weightlifting. We have a ton of dumbbells. We have a ton of strength. Cardio is there.
Yeah.
But it's not like a cardio theater where before you would go in and base your membership off of there's 100 treadmills, so I'm going to go to this one.
Mm-hmm.
Versus like, no, we want a personalized service for weight training and some function. We have 90 feet of turf indoors.
Okay.
And then we're trying to also build that boutique within the boutique because we have a group exercise room, a separate Pilates studio, and a separate yoga studio on top of 2 basketball courts and an indoor designated pickleball court because that's the big, huge trend for everybody to play some fun pickleball.
Very good. All right. What are you seeing in terms of, you know, early interest and age grouping? Are you targeting a younger demographic because it's new and you're marrying the food and beverage component? Or are you looking at, I'm looking at the 40, 50 plus category because they need to continue to stay in shape? Or is it all
Yeah, that's a fantastic question, Jeff. I mean, that's something we asked ourselves before we started, like, who are we actually targeting? What do we actually want to accomplish? And where's the greatest impact for us as a community?
Yeah.
And looking at all the gyms around, all of them, like a Y or a J or, you know, the WAC, they all do amazing jobs with kids programming, but there isn't an adult space around that could get an adult to a space where they thought they could get a serious workout and build community without the kids involved. So we're targeting that 18 to like, I would say 70.
Okay.
And there's no children in our space.
Okay.
So it's an all adult space, which the community seems to be lacking just demographically. And that's why it's upscale. I mean, my staff will probably laugh at me with this, but we made it mid-century modern because that's my taste. And I didn't think that every gym I've ever been to is rubber floors and fluorescent lights. And I mean, it is not that.
So I haven't been through the space, but the renderings and stuff I've seen, it has kind of a woodsy upscale, almost it's like a true like private club feel. And so is that something you were definitely going for?
We were going for like the overall aesthetic to make it somewhere comfortable for somebody to come. And then we Chad and I were pushing the boundaries all the time saying like, what would make it feel more comfortable? And we said, well, it'd be like a home.
Yeah.
And then it was like, well, what would my home feel like to make somebody feel welcome? And my personal taste is like mid-century, but it's really clean lines.
Mm-hmm.
There's not fluorescent lighting. It's a little bit, you know, a little bit moodier, a little bit warmer in spaces. There's carpet, there's beautiful furniture to sit and lounge and actually engage with people. So we truly try to make it an adult space.
We're talking with Dr. Ryan Poulet. Ryan, let's go back to when you got to Milwaukee and started some of your fitness consulting. What were you surprised about this market specifically from a business standpoint?
There's a couple of things, I think. I hadn't been to Milwaukee before I accepted the job besides the interview. So 72 hours I'd spent here before I decided to come. And something I did really notice that, for a small market, I mean, I grew up in Canada, in Toronto, in a large city.
Okay.
So coming to Milwaukee, you're like, well, hold on a second. For business-wise, you're like, it has everything. It has a hockey team, which, right?
Yeah, Admirals, yeah.
It has a professional basketball team, which is incredible. It has baseball, which was wonderful.
Yeah.
It has a great theater district. It's wonderful how the size of everything, even though it takes 15 minutes to drive everywhere, depending on traffic, with construction, but it is absolutely phenomenal that there's such a big economic growth within here. Like all the fitness centers that you mentioned, all in a small amount of space that all do well. People spend a lot of money on fitness.
Yeah. When you looked at Bayshore specifically, obviously you're moving into an old LA Fitness space, so that probably made the deal maybe a little easier. But did you consider other areas? And, you know, how do you make that decision?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question as well. So we really thought about it hard and long, like, where do we want to be? And if we're truly going to build community, if you make it a true destination spot, people have to drive there to get there. But the study showed people don't really want to drive more than 5 miles to get anywhere.
Fitness is a very much of a convenience thing. Like, hey, the Orange Theory is walkable for me. I'm going there.
1,000%. You want to remove as many objections and barriers as you can for people to make it as easy as possible. And so Bayshore seemed like a natural fit because the community that I had worked within all those spaces had such a large amount of healthy individuals that really were looking to push the boundaries. I knew lots of members in any of the places I worked that had multiple memberships, were always looking for a new thing, and were always like, we'd like a serious fitness center in this area instead of having to go all over the place or driving down to Brookfield to go to a Lifetime. So we realized that there was a great community that we really liked working with, and that it was already kind of an organic foot traffic that was already built that we could build along with.
Mm-hmm. All right. I want to talk a little bit about like specific fitness things, maybe in your life. You're the doctor in this conversation. So like what fitness wise don't we do enough of in our day to day? Like I have my morning routine that I go through and I go to the gym, but I always feel like I'm missing something.
Yeah.
What am I missing?
Yeah, that's a fantastic question. And depending on the person, everybody's going to be missing something. But we truly approach this like in a non-traditional fashion. And we're like, even with my medical background and my kinesiology background, like we're like, what is actually missing? Because some people look fantastic, but mentally they're not doing great, right?
And
then socially they're not doing great.
Yeah, yeah.
But physically they look great. And vice versa. You have some people that are great socially, great mentally, but the physical part, not so great. And so we approached it as a whole thing. Like we wanted to make sure that we were covering some spiritual, emotional, mental, and physical portion of a human.
Yeah.
And I think for us, the thing that people are lacking is, it's hard to believe with all the information out there, education on what is right for them.
Mm-hmm.
So the deep dive. So I think it's just the extra little, why are you here? Instance.
Do you feel like the fitness apps and devices are helping hyper-personalize that experience? And do you have a preferred one? As I'm looking at my Whoop band here, that's giving me more data than I need. But I always feel like, wow, I have all this additional data. It's talking about recovery. It's giving tracking my sleep. I put my blood tests into this, and I can deliver that to my doctor. So I like feel like, wow, that's like a full circle kind of fitness moment. Again, I'm probably not using as much of the data as I should be, but what are you seeing from a technology and an app standpoint?
From a technology point of view, it's amazing the amount of information you can get from these devices, and it's amazing how much you can like track with people and see it. Mm-hmm. The part that I think that lacks in the fitness and health part is people understanding why they're tracking that data. Mm-hmm. And for us, like me being medical, everything we do is talking about why you're here. Like a lot of people will just say, I'm here to get stronger. Well, why do you want to get stronger? Well, I like to look good. Why do you like to look good? Like, let's dig down and really get it there because motivation wanes, right? Like if you watch the trends from January 1st, everybody's out 6 weeks after. Like the weekend after Valentine's Day, your attendance dives. Yeah. And that's because motivation is run out by 6 weeks. But if people would understand their true why they're at the gym, like, why do you, why, like, Jeff, why do you care to even track your data? Like,
right.
What is it about that you're trying to solve for you? And if we help you find that why and remind you of that why, then all the data makes sense for you and we can get you to a healthier state.
Yeah. So for a fitness beginner listening, someone just saying, I haven't been to a gym in months and like, what do you say to them? Like, what's that? Yeah, you got to take the first step and you got to open the front door. Mm-hmm. But what's your advice for the fitness beginner who's maybe just a little anxious?
Yeah, I mean, my whole career has been pretty much that in dealing with people who are anxious to get into a fitness center. I couldn't count how many times somebody's told me, I'll get to the gym when I'm fit. Like, once I'm in better shape, I'll get to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, no, that's where you're supposed to do the work. And that's why you need a community and to help you there. Because by yourself, at home, my bike holds some clothes and doesn't hold me as many times as it should.
Yeah.
But when I get to a space to work out with somebody and build a community, that accountability of saying, hey, like, I'm going to meet you here tomorrow for a workout, that's when you build the comfort level. We call it gym intimidation. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to eliminate that by building good personal skills and truly have people say, like, how can I help you, Jeff, get to the best version of yourself?
Yeah.
That's the goal. That's what the name means, continuous improvement.
Right.
We believe that fully.
Right.
So.
And you've said community a ton of times, which is a word and a concept we love here at The Upswing, but community creates accountability, whether it's at a networking event, whether it's in the workplace or in the fitness center. Like, you just hold yourself to a different accountability level because there's people around you that hopefully are supporting you, but you're also there to support others, right? You know, if I'm slacking off in the gym, like, people see that and hopefully somebody comes up to me and says, come on, get off your phone and get back on the treadmill.
Yeah, but it's a full truth. That's the interesting part. Like, if you follow psychology with things, like, factories will have a window from the offices looking onto the floor because the thought of somebody watching you makes you produce more.
Right.
Right. And so if we have the accountability level with, we understand why you're here and we see you at the gym, we're able to help keep you accountable to do the thing, but I still need to get you in the door.
Yeah.
And if I don't make it comfortable and fun and enjoyable, the chances of you coming back are less.
All right. So Ryan, talk us through the timeline and when you're looking to open and remind us then, like, where it is situated at Bayshore Town Center for those who haven't been to Bayshore recently.
So if you were location wise, if you know where the Trader Joe's is, most people know where that is.
Okay.
Or the California Pizza Kitchen.
Okay.
At the Trader Joe's, there's a parking structure.
All right.
And on the second floor, if you drove up to the second floor and went to the north entrance, we're the entire second floor of that building. So basically from the Five Guys to the Gap, we're the entire second floor. So it's 50,000 square feet. That's where we're located.
Okay. All right.
And so that is where we're at. And right now we're in construction.
Okay.
And we were a little bit late because of some inspections and just construction being construction.
Okay.
You always end up with delays. So the date that we're looking at is November 1st.
Okay.
And hopefully we'll be ready to go by then, but we'll keep people updated on our website.
All right. And you're doing some yoga and stuff on in the yard to kind of build anticipation.
Yeah.
I've seen that as I've kind of rolled through there. I have a 14-year-old daughter. She likes to go to Target pretty much every night. So
there you go.
We're at Bayshore Town Center often.
Yeah. And that's the other part of, like, Bayshore for us. We thought we could be the one-stop shop. So if you came in for your morning coffee with us, got your workout in, and then stopped and got your groceries on the way out, or did some shopping on your way out, it would be fantastic for everybody. But we are currently doing Saturday morning classes at 9:30 a.m.
Okay.
We're not doing this weekend. It's Labor Day. Everybody needs a day off. So out on the yard or the turf that is in Bayshore, we do a circuit class, and we'll be offering some yoga classes every Saturday, and you can sign up and for free and just come and experience what it's like to work with one of our trainers or one of our group exercises.
Very good. All right, Ryan, all the best with Kaizen. We appreciate your time and I look forward to getting over there very soon.
Well, we'll get you guys over there. We'll get you some memberships and we'll get you to follow in your stuff. Thank you very
Sounds
much for
good.
Having me.
Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Thank you for being here. Finally, we'll talk about downtown Milwaukee, our neighborhood right here at Good Karma Sports. So the Water Street Entertainment District in downtown Milwaukee, ever-changing for sure, as neighborhoods should, right? Low Country Milwaukee, seafood restaurant right on Water Street, last week announced it was permanently closing after 5 years. It was really gracious and thankful in its messaging, as it should be. on social media posting, "Thank you, Milwaukee, 5 years, thousands of tables, and a whole lot of good nights." So for those of you that love downtown Milwaukee like I do, this is a space that was originally, got to go back years ago, this was Bruce City Barbecue. And then it was Bar Louie after that. So that's like two decades of food and nightlife uses right on the corner of Water Street and Highland Avenue. Then we hear that Duke's on Water closed earlier this year, and then Silk Exotic announced that it's temporarily closing its downtown Water Street location. Of course, it has another location downtown Milwaukee, like steps away from our studio. So, you know, they talk about changes in the area, maybe some increased upticks in violence, but that's also a business decision, right? It is a business decision because this business has another entity in downtown Milwaukee. So when you take all these developments as a whole, that's what you got to look at. You got to look at it as a whole. Shouldn't be mistaken for the entire story of Water Street or downtown Milwaukee. Businesses change. They open, they close, they move, they evolve. Entertainment districts reinvent themselves, and sometimes they just make way for new uses, right? It's all part of the life cycle of any entertainment district, particularly one that's as old and kind of maybe a little outdated like Water Street. So don't treat these closures like a big prompt for a bigger question, like, oh my gosh, downtown's dying. No, it's not. Let's think of it like, what is coming next? There's a whole lot more opportunity now to innovate along Water Street, to create new concepts, to support locally owned businesses, to strengthen safety, improve the street level experience, all these types of placemaking things that wonderful downtown groups look at each and every day, not pretending that change is easy, but recognizing that change can create room for reinvention. That's what's happening on Water Street. And you know what? We should all look forward to it.